You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about that the way that people drive seems similar to the way that they live their life. You know, I've learned a lot watching traffic and traffic patterns, and I think that's interesting because when you look at traffic patterns and you watch traffic, it's kind of almost like an exercise in profiling. It's like profiling people of all different demographics, race, and age. And it's an interesting concept because, you know, the highway is an accurate account and description of life. And I know that that might sound weird at first to you, but we're going to talk about it tonight and how it really does make perfect sense. You know, you can learn a lot about the world around you just by watching traffic patterns. You know, I think it's funny, you know, when I was a younger kid and I had just started driving, I was hell on wheels, okay? I was that kid that, I mean, I could do no wrong. There was no law big enough for me. I mean, I was going to break the law no matter what. And I remember the first time I got pulled over, I think I had like crossed over five lanes of traffic at one time, probably going 95 miles an hour. And
oh, is that all?
That's it. Yeah.
Just 95?
Yeah. I mean,
probably in a 55 mile an hour zone, too.
Might have been 60, I don't know. Yeah, there I am, and I get pulled over by three cops, three squad cars, you know, in my hometown. And I was like, well, this is crazy.
You probably thought you were either Thelma or Louise or both.
You're like, oh, she's a Gemini, she could be both of them at the same
time.
So there I am, and I'm thinking about this stuff, and I get pulled over, and then I was like, what did I do wrong, officer? You know, and they're like, you were doing like 90 miles an hour on the highway, it was like 60, whatever, you know, please get out of the car. And I remember I was young and I was crazy. You know, I mean, I remember hitting.
Wait. Was crazy?
Speak for yourself, Bill.
Right.
Yeah, Bill, come on. You had to have had a story like this when you were younger. You know, like getting crazy and driving like a maniac.
Not driving like a maniac. I've always been a fairly conservative driver.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I do have a crazy story for you, so go ahead and finish yours first.
Okay. So, you know, it was interesting. Yeah, I got a ticket, and I got held up by the police for about a good hour of my time, which meant that I missed curfew, which was so fun in my family, because my curfew was very, very, very early, and I lived in a very strict family. My dad was kind of the guy that was in charge. You know, my mom just kind of accepted things, you know, went with it. If my dad said, this is the law, that was the law. And I remember I got grounded for 2 weeks. It was either grounded for 2 weeks or I think it was actually grounded for a month, or I take prom out or I miss my own prom. And I said, I'll take the month. And so I remember that, though. It was all because those cops pulled me over. Yeah, that's why I lost my curfew. That's what happened. But yeah, no, it's interesting how sometimes the younger we are, the crazier we are. And I even know when I'm watching traffic patterns, you know, like the person that's like darting in and out of lanes that is going so fast. And it's funny how a lot of times they're in very tiny cars.
Right.
With lots of stickers and bumper stickers on the car. That's always pretty funny. And some of them are just like kind of crazy bumper stickers. And, you know, like you kind of know the age group and the dynamic of that person, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them are just like fast rabbits in and out of traffic going crazy. And it kind of reminds me of how I was when I was a kid. I mean, it just does.
Well, you know, this is a scientific fact, Ashley. Our cerebral cortexes, which is the thinking part of the brain, and especially the centers of the brain that have to do with judgment, usually don't fully develop in most people until you're into your 20s, you know, in early 20s, 25, something like that. So, you know, young people, you know, they do things. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I mean, I mean, it's like my grandfather used to say, you know, I don't have a lick of sense. Well, I mean, at that age, I didn't. As far as that goes. I mean, I can look back on it now, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I was thinking.
Because we weren't.
Because you weren't. So, yeah, I mean, I totally believe that, you know, young people, you know, will do crazy stuff. I mean, it's kind of part of the rite of passage, though, isn't it?
I think so. But if I would have known now, like what I know now, and it would have been back then, man,
Right.
I would have prevented so much stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if you can go back and prevent forest fires, you know, I'd be going back to prevent all kinds of fires. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's interesting that the way that people drive really is similar to the way that they live their life. So let's talk about those, the one group. That, let's just call them Group A. And it's not because they're the best or the worst. Let's just call them Group A. Is that erratic driver.
Okay.
Completely erratic. You have no idea what they're about to do. And they're constantly doing that stuff all the way down the highway.
I mean, they don't have any regard for anybody else but themselves. It's see, these are the people that are the reason the term defensive driving was invented for. I mean, you know, and I actually, that's why I don't have any crazy driving stories, because I've always been a fairly conservative driver, because it was hammered to me early on that, you know, everyone else on the road is probably an idiot. And you have to drive for them as well as yourself. Okay. So if you expect, you know, you see, you're coming to an intersection, you see someone coming to the intersection, they have the red light. Don't just assume they're going to stop for that red light.
Don't assume anything.
You know, I mean, so always watch, you know, to make sure that people are going to do. So yeah, you know, driving along the five, you know, lane freeway, you know, especially the city that you and I live in, I see this all the time. Somebody will be in the far left hand lane. And they got to get off at a certain exit, and they wait until now to you know.
And that's right where the exit is, and they almost, like, hit somebody, and, yeah. they swerve around. And I think it's interesting, you know, just the in and out of traffic. And it's always – and it's they speed up, they slow down. They speed up, they slow down. They speed up, they slow down.
And that drives me nuts.
And you're just like, this is insane. And think about how a lot of these people that are the type A erratic drivers probably live their life. You know, they're constantly all over the place. They're probably somewhat, they don't think about anybody else. Nobody else exists in their life. I mean, everybody else probably exists for something for them. You know what I mean? And we know a lot of narcissistic, kind of erratically crazy people.
Yeah.
That have a tendency of being that way, where, you know, they'll walk right over you at a restaurant, not even think twice about it, you know? I mean, like, you were in the way.
Yeah, literally no concern for anyone else but themselves.
No, it's all about them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how those erratic drivers, I mean, let's limit out, let's take out the drug, the people that are on too many drugs and the people that have drank too much. You know?
Which hopefully that's another group that you got coming up. Anyway. And if you don't have it, let's invent that group.
That's definitely a group of people.
Yes.
And that's how they live their life, too. But I think it's interesting, these erratic drivers. And I always think, too, the interesting thing about the erratic driver is the car that they've picked out. The car, their uniform might as well be. The uniform that they drive around in is always kind of interesting, too.
Well, and you know what a advocate I am for public transportation.
Yes,
and,
I am.
And I do take public transportation whenever I can. And I mean, could I do it more, you know, rather than drive my vehicle? Well, yeah, sure. You know, and sometimes the convenience of driving a vehicle wins out. But part of the appeal, especially for Americans, of driving... Even when, you know, people would rather sit in traffic 2 hours, okay, than, you know, take the train or whatever. It's because the car is an extension of you. It's reflects your personality. It's mm-hmm. It's personal. You know, we take our cars very seriously.
Well, my car is one of my good friends.
Yeah. I mean, we talk to our cars. We give them names.
He's been in the shop for, you know, over a month.
It's a she. You know, I mean, you know, she's running fine today, you know.
Mine's a guy.
Yours is a guy? Well, most people refer to it as a she, but, you know, there's no law, you know, or rule about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and people will customize their cars, pimp it out, trick it out. Customize it, you know, just for their own...
it's their uniform.
Yeah.
It's their on-the-road uniform. You, like you said in the kitchen in the studio a few days ago, we have a little bit of working lunches here and there, and when we're standing in the kitchen eating, you know, I know we're not supposed to stand and eat. I get it. I hear you, Mom. Thanks. I know about that. But we're standing in the kitchen eating, and Bill's like, yeah. You know, because I said, I'm a big fan of eating in the car. Okay, so for everybody listening, ever since I was a little kid... I always had this, I just liked being in the car. I loved eating in the car. Like, it seemed like it was the right thing to do. Like, it just seemed so right. Like, it seemed like it was, like, part of just being a human being was to get some food and eat it in the car.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
And I still love that today. I mean, I don't like other people eating in my car. Okay, let me put that out. I don't like anybody else eating in my car. But me. And so it's like a personal thing with me, because I know that I'm not going to drop stuff in between the seat in the glove compartment and the center console. You know how everybody, they like to drop stuff there. It's like, dude, this is not your personal, like, you know, kitchen floor. You know, this is my car. But anyway, it is so much us. I mean, like, I've been driving around this rental car, though, for over a month. And you know what? I haven't at one time really thought that it's not my car. I mean, I guess me and the rental car became friends pretty quick.
You bonded.
We bonded. And I'm a good friend, and I take care of cars. And so it's probably like, wow, this is nice. Somebody actually cares. And, you know, I'll give a little tap on the top, you know, when I'm driving, and give a little caress.
Yeah. Well, cars have personalities.
They do. You give a little caress, a little nod, a little hug.
Yeah.
I give hugs. I talk to them, too. I do talk to them.
I talk to my truck.
You do? I talk to my car, too.
Yeah, so, and of course, I just had to put my truck in the shop the other day for what turned out to be a fairly minor repair.
Perfect.
But a couple of days leading up to it, I was like, okay, baby, just get through today, and then tomorrow we'll put you in the shop. Just, you know, easy does it. You know,
see?
I mean, I was sitting there going, you know, just you know, hang on for another day or two.
But it all worked out for you.
Yeah, it did.
I think it's the same as plants, I mean, to a degree. And I know that there's machines, and I know that there's a difference, but I think any type of energy that you talk to in a positive manner will respond back in a positive manner. You know, that's why I always think it's funny when people that always hate their cars and they always talk about how much they hate their car.
Right.
It always breaks down. It never fails.
Oh, and people who hate their cars are just, they are miserable in life.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
When they hate their car, it's like their whole thing.
Yes.
It's like all the energy around
yes.
them is like really funky. You know, like they'll, and they never wash the car either. It's like an argument with the car.
They let it rust.
Yeah, they're like, I hate this car. And you'll look at it and you're like, dude, go take care of your car, man. I mean, it needs help. And they're like, no, not that car. And it's just like, why? You know, because you could probably bond with the car, but then the car always has problems and something happens, you know. It's like they want it to get stolen or something. I don't understand. So in return, we're going to be talking more about the way that people drive is similar, how they live their life. And we'll continue talking more about the erratic driver, but then we'll eventually move into the moderate but steady driver. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about the way people drive is similar to how they live their life. And it's so true, because when you really watch, like, traffic patterns, if you really take a second to watch traffic patterns when you're in traffic and you're driving, it's an exercise of profiling, you know, ages, races, sexes, cars. I mean, it's very interesting. And I think it's interesting that Group A that we were talking about right before the break is the concept of the erratic driver. You have that, the erratic driver is the one that's all over the place. They're extremely fast. They're in and out of lanes. They don't care. You know, they're cutting through lanes. They're swerving in and out of the other lanes. They're stopping. They're starting. And it's interesting. You know, Bill brought up the fact we were talking about how the car is really a uniform. And it really is, you know, part of the individual. And it's funny how when you look at some of these cars that these erratic drivers have chosen as their vehicle. And I think that some of the erratic drivers' cars aren't, they're kind of beat up. They kind of look beat up because they've probably been beaten up because they've gotten hit.
Right.
They've hit other people. You know what I'm saying? Where you got one of the mirrors is off, or it's like hanging. One of the side mirrors is hanging off on the driver's side. Or on the passenger side.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, I had one. Yep. I had both mirrors hanging off at one point.
Yeah. When I was a kid, of course, you know, my mom, you know, single mom as a teacher. So obviously she didn't have a lot of disposable income. We drove a lot of crappy cars.
You did?
Yep.
What was the crappiest one?
Oh, gosh. It was a green Buick. I want to say Buick. And I don't even remember the model. It was just a, you know, fairly typical sedan, but it was a 70 some odd.
Yeah.
And it was bench seats, vinyl seats. So, of course, when it got hot, then, you know, you burned yourself.
Right.
You know, just smoky, smelly exhaust. And it was one of those cars, you had to turn it over for a while, you know, you know, before it would finally start.
It sounds like a classic car.
You know? And then when you come up to a light, you know, then it would, you know, when it would idle, you know,
Oh, God.
You know, where you thought it's going to cut off on you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Give it some gas. Give it some gas.
I know. Yeah. You know, you'd have to rev it. So yeah, I mean, that car scared us. I mean, we didn't know if it was ever going to start or crap out on us or what.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's like the car. I remember when I was younger, my first car got hit. So the first time
mine too.
Yours too?
Yeah.
Really?
Tell your story first.
Gosh, it was a girl I knew from school. So, you know, for everybody out there, yes, I was national in debate. I was seventh in the nation in debate when I graduated high school. However, in my junior year, I started teaching a little bit of debate camp at a university. And when I was leaving one day, I had just started driving. I had been driving for maybe 5 months. And, I had been driving for about 5 months, maybe less than that, actually. And this girl was following me to the Gap store. We were going to the Gap. You know, that was the cool thing.
I was
going
to say, yeah, you just dated yourself there.
Things have changed, right? And we were going to the Gap, you know.
I mean, they still have Gap stores, but, you know, it's no longer like the hip teenage hangout.
Hangout, like 90210 and
right.
Melrose Place. I guess right. That was a little before that. But, yeah, so we're leaving, and it's like it's raining really hard. And I told her, I said, slow down. You know, I said, hey, slow down. You know, be careful. It's raining really hard. Where she was behind me. Well, she ended up like, I don't know what happened. She sped up. There was a little bit of oil on the road. I was at the stoplight way ahead, and there was a car in front of me, and she ended up hydroplaning into my vehicle.
Oh.
At probably like 50-something miles an hour. And we ended up getting care flooded to the hospital, and my car went underneath the car in front of me. It went underneath the car in front of me by 4.5 feet and was pushed in by 3.5 feet from the rear. And
wow.
That was pretty bad. And that was a solid metal car.
Right.
And so the next car I got, man, I got totally duped on it. I mean, totally duped. My mom had this old Nissan 240 SX. It was right when... And it had Datsun's name still on it.
That is old.
You remember when Datsun turned to Nissan?
Right, yeah.
But it had both names on it? Okay, at one time they had like both names. And it was like for like maybe a year. You know, it had the both names, you
right,
know?
Right,
and it was a two-door and it was a hatchback. Remember the hatchback?
One of those. Okay, yes.
And it was silver and it had silver and like orange stitching. Cloth seats in it, right? And I called it the Silver Bullet, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I ended up driving from then on out. I was so mad at that girl. And it was funny because we were friends up until that happened, and we had the same insurance agent, and I never sued because that wasn't part of my, you know, my makeup, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
But, should have, but anyway, didn't. And, yeah, we never talked again because we had the same insurance agent, and, you know, it just became, like, this really weird deal.
Right.
And so she wrecked my car, and then we never talked again.
Well, because she wrecked something that was near and dear to you.
Oh, my dad, like, you should have seen his face. Oh, my God. So we go to the place. I said, Dad, after they picked me up in the hospital and everything, I said, Dad, it's really bad. And he's like, it can't be that bad. I was like, no, it's really bad. And it was my dad's favorite car. It was his first car. It was a 1981 240D Mercedes-Benz, okay? So 81 Mercedes-Benz. It had 100-something thousand miles when he gave it to me, okay, on it. And so that was in the mid-90s. That was like 94
okay.
when this all happened.
Right.
And so we get there to the place where the car had been towed to. And my dad actually just, he gets out of the car and he starts crying. And he had both of his hands on his head and then they moved down to like his eyes. And then he's
wow.
like all over his face. And then he's like, he looked like he just was like, you know, head in, you know, his head was in his hands. And he ended up turning around and rebuilding that car.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then he drove it for 240
days. Because he couldn't bear to part with it.
Couldn't bear to part with it, but I was never allowed to ever be near it.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why.
And it had nothing to do with me. I mean, had I been able to move, like, I even thought, I remember looking in the rearview mirror as I saw her hauling into us, and the only options we had, because there was someone in front of us, was to jump out of the car
uh-huh.
and hope that we didn't get hit instead by her on foot. Which is a possibility, okay, because that would have been even worse. We
yeah.
would have been dead,
yeah.
okay? Or to sit in the car and wait for it to happen. And that's what I had to do, is I got to watch it happen through my rearview mirror. Awful. That's
yeah.
why I ended up going to care flooding.
Which, by the way,
my tension was so bad.
You're wrong about one thing. It did have something to do with you. See, I mean, even though the accident wasn't your fault, some people are just accident prone.
I'm not accident prone, though.
And, well, I mean, your dad didn't know that at the time.
No,
I mean,
no.
You're just a new driver.
Oh, so. Yeah, I was a brand new driver.
But, I mean, you just have this sense about some people. You know, you don't want them near your car because something bad's going to happen.
Well, that's why that girl and I never spoke again. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because I knew she, and her car had no scratches almost.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, later on, my dad apologized because, like, I'm one of those people that I've driven my dad all over the countryside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my dad respects my driving. But at the time, you're right, he didn't know.
Because you're only 16 at the time.
Yeah, and I could be one of those erratic drivers, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, he probably was thinking, oh, my God, keep her away from the car.
And, of course, we have the stereotype of the, you know, the woman driver, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I remember, real quick before we go into these, back to the erratic driver and into the moderate and steady driver. So the Silver Bullet was a standard. It wasn't an automatic, okay? So
my first vehicle was, too.
Oh, really? Okay, because mine was an automatic, then I went to standard. And I didn't know how to drive a standard.
My very first vehicle was a now keep in mind I'm from West Texas originally, right? It was a white Ford F-100 pickup, half ton pickup. Okay, kind of like the old style pickups, you know, that you see on farms back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And it's three on the tree, three speed standard shift. On the steering column, right?
Oh, that's cool.
And the huge clutch that you just like had to use leg muscles to push in. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm a conservative driver because I learned on a standard. Shift, big vehicle like that, and you can't drive one of those things like a Mercedes or.
You can't drive that like a
Lamborghini
battery
or whatever.
I mean, you got to go slow.
Right. I mean, just
it's like trying to take an 18-wheeler like
just
that.
To engage the clutch out of first gear takes, some timing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not the most, timing-oriented person in the world. So, it took me a little bit. So
honesty
anyway,
is the best policy, though.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, so anyway, yeah. So I was like 16, only 3 months of my driver's license. And mom was in the passenger seat. We were going to run an errand. I'd never been to this particular section of town before, at least driving anyway. Mm-hmm. So, mom, what do we do? Okay, go through the intersection. Fine. At the very last second, no, turn left. So I get into the turning lane, and I turn left without even thinking about it, and I turn right in front of this full-size Chevy Suburban.
Oh, my God.
Who had to have been going, I think the police said it had to have been going at least 60 miles an hour, so he was speeding. I mean, bam! Hit us right on the passenger door.
Oh,
okay?
Man.
Full speed. He didn't even have time to stop because I turned right in front of him. They're happy ending to the story, though. And not only were both mom and I okay and walked away from him, but we were able to drive that truck home. I mean, this is like a, steel tank we were driving.
Oh, my God, really?
So I've been a Ford man, ever since then.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
So
that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, the car that I was driving had to be rebuilt, and so it's a totally different story. I mean, you couldn't have driven that accordion home.
No.
I mean, you had to, my dad had to teach me how to drive a standard, and my dad is a corporal type man. He's kind of like a military type man, very military oriented type individual. And once everything done a certain way, and you have no idea what's going to happen next, and you just have to kind of flow with it. And I remember we drove out to an area about an hour away from where we lived, and it was very mountainy, kind of hilly area.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you of, like, Junior's San Francisco. But some of the hills were, like, San Francisco on steroids.
Okay, gotcha.
And so we go over to this one area of town, and he's like, okay, so now you're going to learn how to drive. And I'm like, but this is like not, this isn't the easy, this is really kind of hard. I'm like, this sucks, Dad. And he's like, well, you know what? You're going to have to learn how to do it. Okay, so I brought you out to the most difficult area of town as far as mountainous and just the topography of the whole area because you need to learn. He was such a hard butt. I mean, just such an ass, honestly,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So there I am, like, okay, so I go up this one hill, and I go back down it, and then I go up it, and sure enough, I hit the red light. Sure enough. And I'm at the top of this hill. I mean, it's like you feel like you're about to go ski down,
right.
I mean, that's how far it is. And all of a sudden, this car pulls up behind me, and if it's not a Bentley, it's got to be a Bentley. A brand new Bentley right behind me. And like, oh.
Yeah, no pressure there.
I'm like, oh my God, my dad's like, yep. Okay, so let's see what happens. So it turns green, and I'm like, ah! Well, anyway, I ended up doing fine. Stressed the crap out of me, okay? I was stressed out for a long, long period of time. But anyway, I learned how to drive that standard, and I learned how to drive it well. But, you know, he was so corporal about it. You know what I mean? He couldn't let me just try to drive it in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? We had to go out to the middle of nowhere where everything was rough and tough so that I think it's because he wanted to prove a point that maybe I couldn't drive. Maybe that's what it was, right? But anyway, I ended up winning. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking about the way people drive and how it's similar to how the way they live their life. And maybe you might learn a little stuff about yourself, too, tonight on this Tonight Show, because it puts a little bit of perspective for me, I'll tell you that. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking about the way people drive is similar to how they live their life. You know, how we drive is similar to the way that we live our life, personally and professionally. You know, we talked about the erratic driver, the one that goes in and out, goes all over the place, extremely erratic, extremely fast. And there was a time in my life when I was a younger kid where I was that person. And it wasn't until I got the silver bullet when I became that person. Because I kind of felt like I had been duped by that girl by hitting my car. And I got to that point where, you know what, this car is 1984. It's 11 years old or 10 years old or whatever it was. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. And so I became that erratic driver, you know, in and out, and didn't care because
and
I guess
you still are. I've driven in cars with you. You scare me. Cat got your tongue?
Sorry, scaredy cat, that you're so scared.
You do scare me. It's like,
I was doing 25 miles an hour the other day, and I know it was scary, but the mile per hour speed zone was 30. I had to go close to the right mileage. I mean, I couldn't sit there and go like 20 miles an hour. You get all scared.
But that's because you for some reason, I think you have a spatial distortion issue. You know, it's
don't
like.
Don't you like it when people tell you what issues you have?
Yes.
Thanks for telling me my issues.
You're welcome. You know,
spatial distortion issue.
I mean, generally speaking, you need to have more than 1 inch between you and the car in front of you and behind you.
Don't buy into what he's selling. Don't buy into it. He's trying to sell you a bill of goods. It's not true.
Yeah.
All listeners can drive in the car with me at some point. You know, that's what we should do is give it away sometime. We'll do a giveaway, a drive giveaway.
There you go.
Where they can drive around with me for 3 hours. Eat in the car. We'll eat in the car. We'll hang out in the car. We'll listen to music.
Oh, you mean they'll get to actually eat in your car?
Yeah. Wow.
That's worth it right there.
That'd be kind of fun, right?
That'd be worth losing your lunch when you drive down the highway.
We should do a show from the car. That would be pretty cool.
And hear the passenger screaming, save me!
Then they'd be like, it's the time of my life! Woo!
That's an instance.
I'm so free!
That's an instance where if they don't have it already, they'll get religion.
Oh,
dear Lord, get me out of this. I'll never drive with this person again.
I always love that. Please get me out of this. I'll never do it again. Yeah. That's always a good one. So let's talk about that moderate and steady driver. You know, moderate and steady. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at right now in my life. You know, the moderate and steady. And I go kind of slow and steady, too. It kind of depends. When I'm on the highway, I'm moderate and steady. I'm one of those kind of people. I get steady going. I'm watching everybody. I'm taking care of my own business. I'm not, I'm not struggling. I'm not stressed out. I'm not scared. But I'm also courteous, and I think that's one of the biggest things. The other, you know, every day I drive, I'm very courteous. So if people need to get let in, I'll let them in. You know, I'll take care. I'll help the flow of traffic because I understand that just because I get ahead by just a few inches or half a mile ahead, it's not really that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Because, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter.
I mean, you're saving yourself, what, 1 or 2 minutes?
1 or 2 minutes just to jump over somebody else, and then there's going to be a time that you need help, and it's all cyclical. So, you know, you kind of do that. And I think it's interesting, though, you know, so you got the courteous driver over there that lets somebody in, you know what I mean? Or kind of stops traffic, realizing that ahead, you know, there's just it's packed solid. You're not going anywhere. So if you let somebody cross over and get in, it's okay. But I think it's funny that driver that literally does the opposite. Like when somebody tries to let someone in, they honk at them. They honk. They try to cut them off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep,
you're just
yep.
Where are you? I mean, where are you at that you got to get there a minute before everybody else does, you know? And I had that happen earlier today. It was one of those erratic drivers that literally just makes the lane all of a sudden a 2-ply.
Yep.
Where you're like, dude, I'm in here still. I mean, I'm still in the lane. You know what I mean? Now you want to be in the lane with me, but I got nowhere to go. You know what I mean? There's a shoulder, But now I got nowhere to go. But now you're going to so I just stopped. I slowed down and I just let them go. And they were about 100 miles an hour.
And that's the safest thing to do in that type of situation. Yeah. See, I mean, like I said, I fall in this category too. I mean, I'm more on the moderate conservative side of the group.
So you're more of the slow and steady.
Yeah. I mean, for a few reasons. I mean, for one, I still drive a Ford pickup. It's a stick shift. It's a 6-speed.
Okay.
V6, 4.2-liter engine. So it's got, fairly good, get up and go, but it's a standard shift, okay? So, you're not going to be able to just...
Again, your truck with a standard shift.
Yeah.
Which typically is more slow and steady.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I try to drive either at or just under the speed limit anyway, just to conserve gas.
Yeah.
I prefer not... to have to fill up my gas tank every few days.
Oh, I agree. It gets kind of crazy.
Because especially as we've seen in the past few years, that can get a little expensive.
Well, I think it's interesting how the different levels of driving, unless you've always been like this. So some people like you, started at an early age, and whether it was upbringing or technology, vehicle, speed of vehicle, area of town, you've always driven the same way. But I think a lot of times through life, a lot of people change because of their lifestyle changes. So, what might have been the erratic 17, 18-year-old can turn into the moderate, steady. It can turn into the courteous driver based on what's going on in their life.
Especially, I've seen this transition, especially when someone becomes a parent.
Oh, big
time. And they, switch from the sports car or the sporty car to the minivan, and now they got kids in the back.
Exactly. And they're like, oh my God. And they're the freak out. They're the ones that start freaking out.
Right.
They're the ones that go the extreme of the way.
Yes.
It's like you got the person that didn't believe in anything, and then they're going to church 5 days a week, and they're telling you how bad you are.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Slow down. Just slow down. There are kids here. And they're the ones that buy all the little, the stuff for the street, for the neighborhood got all the neon kid, plastic stuff out there that says slow down.
They've converted. Praise Jesus.
They start yelling at everybody driving that. Just slow down. You know what I mean? What are you doing here? I mean, this isn't the highway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I was doing 12 miles an hour, but I'll remember next time I need to go 9 when I go in front of your house. Yeah, you're right. It's like they go from extremes, but I think that most of the time in our life, when we're living in a certain way, based on a structure of being happy, okay, so for the most part, based on the structure that we're happy and we're not chasing after something, I think that we basically go from being erratic to being moderate, to be moderate and steady, to being slow and steady. And I think that with each passing year, for the most part, we become more courteous to other drivers just as much as we become more courteous to people in our life. Like, we care about the same amount. We start caring for people more. We start realizing that we have a finite amount of time.
Right.
When we were kids, we don't ever think about that. We never think about, oh, my God. Okay, you're not over there doing the math. Well, I mean, I was, because I was, I had that condition, and that's another reason why I drove like a bat out of hell, is because I was like, hey, if I'm going down, with a vengeance, what I mean?
In a blaze of glory.
Yeah, I'm going to just go right off a cliff,
Fireball, Ashley.
Fireball, yay.
Instead of Thelma and Louise, it's Thelma and Ashley, holding hands, going over the cliff.
Yeah, I'd be like, girl, get out of the car. Let me drive. let me drive this car, sweetheart. So. I can drive it better than you can. Yeah, no, it's like, I feel like, that was a different change in my situation, where I was going through health problems and health issues and undiscovered health issues. And when you go through those types of things, you have a tendency of feeling a little off. And also, you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen next. And because, doctors are telling you whatever, you have a tendency of just going, I'm going to live my life. And once I got past that, I was really, and I got more understanding, and I finally got a title for what it was, and I got all that. It changed things. And over the course of my life, it's changed things. And the more that I've gotten to where I want to be at, as far as where I always saw myself being, I'm not in a rush. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in a rush. I'm certainly not in a rush to die. Okay.
Right.
But I'm definitely not in a rush to, I'm there. I'm already there. And so it's like, right when you start figuring out there's a journey, and we figure there's a journey, it's kind of like, there was a guy that cruised past me at like probably 112 miles an hour a couple of days ago, and I was thinking, either he's late for a job interview, because I looked down at the clock and it was like 2 minutes to like 9:30. So
okay.
I was like,
yeah,
it seemed like a job interview time.
Probably a pretty good
in the middle of the week.
Or late to a sales appointment or something. You know, something like that. Yeah.
But I was also thinking, like, that thing's got to be real important to them. And I think nowadays, unless, you know, I don't even know. I think I would try to take more time to get there now. Like, even if, you know, even if Sony Pictures calls me up and says, you need to come meet down here to do this film and you got to be here in an hour. I mean, I'd probably forgo doing some of the cosmetic or makeup thing and try to get my butt on the road and go.
Right.
I mean, in the past, I might have waited all the way to the last minute and then just haul butt all the way there. But now it's like life means a lot to me, even more than it did before.
Right.
And I'm not in that much of a rush now. And I try to simulate and I try to schedule things and I try to be, wise about how I schedule. And I think that's all part of growing up as well.
Yeah. I can tell you my case. I mean, I came at it from the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, I grew up in a small town in West Texas, and you know, the pace of life is just slower, and you know, than in a large metropolitan area.
It sure is.
And so I learned to drive. You know, you don't have to drive a bat out of hell. I mean, it takes you 15 minutes to get from one in town to the other. You know, traffic jam is where you have to stop twice at the same light. Yeah. Okay. It's like, darn it, it's going to take me 15 minutes instead of 10, you know?
Oh,
darn it, you know, that type of thing. And so you learn to, you know, kind of take, you know, life at a little bit of a slower pace because there's no need to do anything else. And you know, you learn, and of course, in a small town, you're likely to know
everybody.
the other people.
Especially like them going, well, I saw your son Bill.
Exactly.
Hauling butt down 109 or whatever.
You know, so
Farm Road 27.
You're liable to run this person in church.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Barnett, you know what your kid did?
Let me tell you what Bill was doing earlier.
Yeah, exactly. so anyway, you learn to, you know, be courteous, you know, to other people in that type of situation. Now, once I moved to the big city,
all that was off.
Yeah,
bets were off for Bill.
And even though I prefer nice and steady when I'm driving on the freeways, I can be aggressive if the situation calls for it. I've learned to do that.
Okay, that's good.
It's gotten me out of a couple of scrapes. So I can step on it and gun it if I need to. Get situations where all of a sudden it's threatening to bottleneck.
Yeah.
Somebody just wrecked or
Bill Hall's butt with his nitrous tanks on the back.
Yeah.
Don't let Bill fool you.
It's like, turn on the Batmobiles, flip the
switch. He's got nitrous connection on that truck. You know? Don't let him fool you on that
But yeah.
Don't let him fool you.
Hey, I've tricked out my pickup, and, that thing can haul butt.
Yeah, we need to trick that out real bad. Like,
which, by the way, I know the show's going over the airs nationally, but it literally is true. You know, the pickup is king in Texas.
Oh, he had to do it.
And I have a Ford pickup. Thank you very much.
Bill has a Ford pickup?
Yes, I do.
We're going to send out some pictures here on the website here very shortly on that. Yeah, we want everybody, if you see this man, please call us.
Right.
1-888. It's all good. No, we'll come back. When we return, we'll be talking more about Bill's nitrous connections on his car, as well as talking about the levels of courtesy and how our level of courtesy within our life is also similar to the same as the way we drive. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I could lift you up.
I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we can learn a lot about, you know, the way people drive, about their driving patterns. We can learn a lot about ourselves from the way we drive. And that's what tonight's show is really about, is learning a little bit more about ourselves. Because it's very interesting, the little different nuances and characteristics of things that we don't really think are that important really are. Because they show us where we are in our life today. You know, it was interesting, the way I drive now is so antithetical to the way I drove when I was a kid. I mean, I was crazy, and I liked it. And you know what? I liked it a lot when I was crazy. But you know, now I'm slow and steady. I'm moderate and steady, but I'm also very courteous. And I see things way before they happen. And I always could see lights and lights ahead. But I was always doing that so I could get there faster. I wasn't to get there just, you know, slow and steady. And I also wasn't thinking about helping anybody else. And it seems like nowadays, when everything kind of seems to be going in a certain direction, and for a lot of y'all out there, you're happy, you're in a good space, you're in a good energy zone, and you feel it. And the more you're in that zone, guess what? You drive better. You're more courteous. You kind of slow down a little bit. You might not be stopped. You might not be that slow, but you're going and you're not, it's not erratic because your life's not erratic. You know, I mean, I think back when you were younger, think back even when you went through some stressful periods, when people lose their jobs, if they lose their spouse, when they get divorced, all those types of different options that are very stressful and highly difficult to deal with as a human being. In those situations, a lot of times we can find ourselves so stressed out that it actually kind of exudes into every form of our life. And one of those things that it'll show up in is the way we drive. Because when we're driving all erratic and stuff, you go from being like slow and steady to driving erratic, you got a lot on the mind. You're not thinking about what's all in your mind. You're actually letting your mind just talk to you and talk to you, and you're not focused on anything but what's going on in your headset.
Right, and that may be especially dangerous with those, like, say, with ADD.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, you're trying to multitask and do, you know, talk on the phone and text and drive and, you know, do other things at the same time. You know,
and generally stressed out.
Yeah, and...
Because when you have stress on your shoulders...
And you're not even noticing the other traffic on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, when you have stress, you're dealing with, you know, problems in your life. A lot of times those problems are plaguing you, and until you do like some, you know, some help as far as really doing some breathing techniques and really slowing it down and being able to observe that conversation in your head, it's still going to happen. And so sometimes when we go through a stressful situation, we drive faster. We have a heavier foot. We swerve in and out faster because we seem to be
because you're feeling more aggressive.
Yeah, you're feeling more aggressive or you're feeling more out of control.
Okay, well, that's...
You know, sometimes right. When you're out of control, you're just like, oh, my God. You know, you're just kind of out of control. But, yeah, being more aggressive, like trying to... And then sometimes when we're being more aggressive, it means that we're, what, trying to get some sort of power back? We're trying to feel like we're okay. In a power position?
That makes sense.
You know, like, okay, here I am driving really... Oh, screw them! You know, get out of my way! You know, I said it. I said not to get in this lane, and I'm going to cut you off, okay? Because I've had enough of this. I'm going to own something. Okay, I'm going to own this lane today. Okay, that's what I'm going to have.
Right.
I might have everything else might be in the crap, okay? And it might all, you know, it might all just be in the tank, but I'm going to do this.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people listening tonight have been in that position where you just like, you don't even realize you're doing it. And some of it's just subconscious, you know, because you want to have control over something. And whether it's this, and you don't even have control really over it, but, you know, you got to think about something. And that's why I think a lot of times when you see drivers that you put your turn signal on, and you try to get in the lane.
Right, right.
And instead of them just letting you over, they got to honk at you.
Yeah.
Or they got to kind of cut you off. It's like, come on.
It's like, you're not going to get in front of me. Because this
is my space.
That might mean it will take me 5 more seconds.
This is my space.
To my commute time, yeah.
It's almost like getting into somebody's, like personal space.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not in your personal space.
It's like I own this, you know, what is it, 6 foot.
Stretch of highway land.
Stretch of asphalt. Yeah.
In the third of the right lane.
Yeah, don't you dare get in my space.
It's funny. I mean, it's like, it's not like you're in the car with them. I mean, I understand if I catapulted myself into the car, you know, and began to breathe on them while I'm eating tuna fish. I get it. I understand if you have a problem with me getting in your space that way. But I mean, I'm just trying to get in line. And I think a lot of times we go through these processes in our life. And so if you can estimate yourself and look at yourself. And so some of y'all actually right now are driving. You are in the car. You're driving this very minute. How are you driving? What are you dealing with in life? You know, are you erratic? Are you the moderate to steady? Are you the slow to steady? Okay. You know, also, what about the level of courtesy that you're at? How courteous are you to others? Because I think the more courteous we are to others, it also says, guess what? It's a direct correlation to, do we play well with others? You know? Remember when you were a kid and they asked you, like, in kindergarten, and one of the deals is play well with others or doesn't play well with others?
Right, right.
How well do you play with other people in your life? How well do you deal with other people in your life?
And I bet you those type of people will drive things like sedans, you know, and, you know, maybe minivans or SUVs. You know, nice and, you know, not flashy cars, just, you know, steady cars.
Well, but I mean, I drive a sedan, but yeah, you're right.
Well, yours is more of a flashy type sedan, at least I think so.
But I slow it down. I'm very courteous, though. I'm a very courteous driver. I think it comes with...
You sound like Dustin Hoffman. I'm a good driver.
Dad, let me drive in the driveway.
Driving the driveway.
You must be driving the 42, 42, 42, 42. I love that. We're going to Vegas.
There you go.
Vegas, baby. Yeah, and I think it's all about that. I mean, I really think that the more courteous we are on the highway, the better we play with others, the happier we are with others. And even if we're not really happy with them, you deal with them. And we kind of think about it where it's not all a means to an ends anymore. It's all about the journey. And so when you kind of start thinking about how even driving is a big part of the journey and getting through life is a big part of the journey, that's a big thing. I mean, do you want to rush through that part of the journey? I mean, is that the part of the journey that doesn't matter? You know, I know a lot of times I have friends that are constantly on the phone while they're driving. And they got the music blaring and they call you up and they're screaming half the time. They're screaming at the drivers in front of them. They're screaming at the drivers behind them. It stresses me out. Okay. I'll finally just go, hey. Sometimes I'll hang up because I haven't been able to speak anyway.
It's
okay.
Like, chillax, dude.
It's like, dude, yeah. It's like you call me just to have a freaking meltdown on the phone just so I can feel weird and have to go back into work. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, when we're at that level and we're not seeing this as an option and a process of life, because going from A to B and driving is a big process of your life. And for a lot of people that commute a lot, it's a big part of your daily life. And so a big part of your daily life shouldn't all be about, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. Okay? It should be more like, you know what? What do I enjoy about driving? What things do I enjoy to think about, to listen to? How clear is my head? You know, I mean, if you have a long commute and it takes you an hour
or more,
you know, one of the first things that you need to be doing, and this is a certified Ashley technique, is the first thing you want to start doing is you get in the car and you get out of the parking area at your work or whatever, and you get on the highway. You don't turn the music on, don't get on the phone right yet, and do some, you know, awake meditation. Do some alert meditation.
Now, this is the first thing in the morning.
Oh, this is when you're driving to or from work.
Okay.
This is especially when you're leaving work. This is very important when you're leaving work, because you've had a long day, you got a long drive in front of you.
Stressed out, you're tired.
You're tired, you're probably stressed out.
The boss is a jerk.
You got to drive again. And so really do a little bit of meditation. Really think. Just solidly let go of certain thoughts and let go of the anger or anything that you're holding on to. Do some deep breathing exercises as well, which always helps.
Which, quick interruption, Ashley. Driving when you're angry is the worst thing you could possibly do.
Oh, yeah.
Never get behind. It's almost as bad as driving drunk. Never get behind the wheel of a car if you're angry.
It's a bad idea.
Yes.
I've done that before when I was younger. I understand.
I've done it too.
And it happens. We make bad decisions, right? Yeah. And you're glad that nobody got hurt, and you're glad that you didn't kill anybody.
Right.
So, yeah, do some meditation. Do some deep breathing. You know, also, it's amazing how when we start realizing that this is a journey and it's not just a means to an end, you're able to be more aware of certain nuances. You know, I always like to pay attention to, you know, tag numbers. I always like to look at tag numbers. I'm a big numerology fan. I love numerology, and I really get a lot of information from numbers. And that might be something that you pay attention to as well. You know, as well as just certain atmospheric scenarios, looking at the clouds, seeing the different types of coloring in the sky, but just being aware of life. You know, anytime that the temperature is not bad, even on the highway, I'll pull down one of the windows and get some fresh air, and you know, and then eventually you can listen to some of your own music. You know, calm music, not crazy like crazy music, but calmer music, because you know what? A lot of times in traffic, you're not going the speed of the music, and that becomes a problem. Well, you start getting, you know, impatient, and you start riding people, you know, real close.
What about Metallica? That calms me.
Okay, Bill, it does calm me. Him and his nitrous, it calms him down. Do you listen to Metallica?
I do. Wow. I mean, I'm from West Texas, but I like heavy metal music.
Well, for all of you that do, awesome. You and Bill should hang out together and y'all can go eat in his car for everybody else. I mean, just, you know, listening to some calming music, but also, you know, have something that you like. I found out that every time I listen to the radio a lot lately sometimes, if it's not a talk show like this, which is like eye-opening and helps you figure out more about your life, it's just talk. And so really pay attention to the talk that you're allowing into your mind. So for example, right now you're learning a lot about, you know, who you are, what's similar in life, but also, you know, how your driving patterns do make something to do with your lifestyle. And also, you know, for example, you know, realizing that this is really important. I mean, because this is the way that you're acting throughout life. This might just be one facet of it, but if you think about it, the way that you drive is actually the same as important as the way you work. It's the way that you deal with your friends. I mean, if you're angry all the time, you're going to be angry on the road all the time. If you are erratic with everybody in your life, you're going to be an erratic driver. It's just the way it is. If you are steady and you're calm and you're courteous, then you're steady and calm and courteous throughout your life. You're doing that in the work environment. You're doing that at home. And if you're not doing that, begin to recognize what is not working in your life. Recognize what are you not allowing to work in your life. And recognize what seems to be giving you a lot of stress that's causing you to be erratic instead of calm. And I think this might actually address some issues tonight for you when you're dealing with understanding yourself better. And this puts a lot of clarity into the mix. So as you drive today, tomorrow, and the next day, realize that, you know, it's interesting to watch other people and their driving patterns. And you can learn a lot about society at a large. And you can also learn a lot about the percentage of people that are erratic, percentage that are slow and steady, moderate and steady, and, you know, and the people that are just doing what they need to do from point A to point B. But recognizing that this is more than just going from one side to the other side, this is actually part of your life and part of your lifestyle and part of your actual journey. We have a great show for you tomorrow. Stay tuned. We have a great show for you tonight. Another great show.
I was going to say, yeah, we're not done yet. We've still got 1 hour to go. You just want to get in your car and go bad out of hell, don't you?
I'm taking the nitrous truck.
I'm still not driving with you.
You're still not going to drive with me.
I'm still not going to drive with you. You scare me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, you can follow me then. I'll follow you.
I would have to engage the nitrous oxide to keep up with you. You kidding me?
Come on, Bill. I'm not that bad. Maybe I am. But stay tuned. We have a great show for you next. And just remember that, you know, moderate and steady and slow and steady, being courteous is where it's at. Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.